CliffCentral.com.
I am loving you. You're the healing hands where it used to hurt. You're my saving grace. You're my kind of
like a religious song. Flo Rida.
Holy
Mary, Mother of Jesus. Isn't that how it goes? All right, everybody, we're going to have Get Mikasa in here in a moment or two. This is going to be fun. Let me quickly tell you about this. What, Ben, are the most critical requirements for companies in today's business environment? Before you answer, communications and technology are the answer.
Yeah, I was going to go with that, actually.
Oh, very good. Who better to deliver this to you than iConnect Telecoms? From internet connectivity to voice and cloud platforms to the latest IT solutions and more. iConnect ensures maximum uptime and productivity with more reliable connectivity and necessary support and backup. iConnect is your answer, all delivered by a single solution provider. Go to iConnectSA.co.za for more information. That's iConnectSA.co.za, the one provider to manage all your communications. Ben, for example, have you had any problem logging onto the internet since iConnect came on here?
No, I've got to say, this place is like, it's the go-to.
Oh, hell
it's
yes.
It's so reliable.
100 megs, baby. You can, now that's a connection.
That's where I hang out here a lot nowadays.
I know, I've seen you. You stay here much past your sell-by date. Usually most people clear out of the office. Ben's still here when we lock up at night.
That and because Sia's gone.
Oh, right. Okay. Nice, Ben. That's really sweet of you. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's always a pleasure to welcome probably the most in-demand musicians in South Africa to the studio. No, it's true. Come on, give yourself some credit.
Right?
Say something, Moti. How the hell are you two?
We're hell of a good, man.
Look at you. You're both looking good.
Not too bad, right?
Are you still gigging every day of the week and twice on Sundays? Well, you are, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Blessed.
Now, you can watch this interview live if you're on Jay's Facebook, but you can also listen to us on cliffcentral.com. We're streaming live, and you can also catch the podcast later on. Yeah, I think you're on
yours. I thought I was on Mikasa's Facebook.
Oh, well, that was stupid. Do you sometimes log on to the wrong one?
Gosh, yeah.
It's complex.
Yeah, when you're trying to, you know, take over the world.
It's harder. Now, listen, I want to talk to you two because I know Duda's on his way. He's stuck in traffic.
Yes.
But I want to talk to you two about something right up front. And I thought it would be, you know, Father's Day just happened this weekend. And I hate to bring up nasty, horrible things. But both of you lost your dads this year.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I know how important both of your dads were in your lives. And having spent your first Father's Day without them must have been pretty damn hard, right?
Sure.
Yeah, it wasn't easy at all, man. I mean, I think, like, I lost my dad, you know, a couple of days before Father's Day, and it was a complete shock. And,
I'm sorry.
Just out of nowhere. Yeah, thanks, man. But, went to Portugal, and, kind of, my brother and I relived some of the things that he likes to do. So we went fishing.
That's cool.
Ate food that he likes, and we drank things that he likes. So we just had a good time on kind of, like, his behalf.
And with your dad, Mo, I mean, I remember you told me, you sent me a message. We were actually talking, I think that week we were going to do something together or whatever. And,
yes.
And you let me know. And I was worried because I'd heard that he was in hospital and you told me that you'd gone to visit him and everything. And obviously that was an awful thing to have to go through.
That was crazy.
It's hard, huh?
That, you know, just watching that machine count down, he's breathing, you know, and then you're like, you know what's going to happen. And you're like, this is his last few seconds on the earth. And then next thing, the guy gets cut off, you know. But, I think he's in a happy place, of course, you know, and also he knew that what he's also taught me and the rest of the family that, no one can take away what my dad has installed in me, right? Like right now, you know,
doesn't it sort of gives you perspective on a lot? Like you suddenly figure out that there are only a couple of things that you get to have that really matter. Memories.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Good relationships.
Like Father's Day. You know? Father's Day, I just got to my PVR and I recorded all the shows that we were on together with him.
Oh.
And just listen to how well he spoke about me or of me. Yeah. And like just the great things, you know. And I was like, flip, man. Like now it only clicked that he was saying those words, you know. And when they're alive, we always take it all for granted. Mm-hmm. He says I'm
now
good.
Every word means
so. Now every word means so much and you want to listen. And I was like, oh, wow, Dad was saying this about me, you know? And I went on to all the all the shows that we did, and I was like, wow, man. And that was Father's Day, and I just sat, and I was, like, smiling, thinking, hey, man, this guy like, he was a really cool dad. You know, I knew when he was alive, but still, it even became more. So, like, rather than crying, it's more smiles saying that, hey, man, that's I had a good time with this guy. You know, special. I had a good time with him, you know, and that's what matters.
Well, I didn't want to start the whole discussion on a downer, but I mean,
No, that's okay.
For a lot of people, Father's Day is tough because we have so many people in South Africa who grew up without fathers. And I just thought, here are two guys, and to both of you, your dads were extremely important.
Yeah.
And they meant a lot to you. And I just thought, you know what, it was something I was thinking, funnily enough, because I knew you were coming on this week, and I thought of both of you.
Sure.
With your dads.
No, thanks, man.
But I promise you I won't make any other nasty downers you know, on the way through this discussion. So listen, you're doing this show at the moment where you're going all over the country.
Yeah.
You were touring the Northern Cape the other day, and you took Kat and Sia from here with you.
Yeah.
And you took them to Kimberley.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, you'd have to bribe me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a horrible place.
I now see why they came.
The Northern Cape. Yeah, did you invite me?
Wasn't that bad, man?
Was it me you invited?
I think so.
I don't even think I.
No, but
I'm joking.
They knew better than to give it to me.
No, it wasn't that bad, Gareth.
No, I heard they had a lot of fun. Like, you got to see some amazing sights and go on donkey cart races, and you met some of the local people, which was always cool.
Yeah, wine tasting, places where they make wine, of course, there.
Oh, there was a lot of drinking.
So, yeah, you know, and. Yeah, man, happens. But they had fun. They had a lot of fun. And they even, we went on to our next one, and they were like, guys, why are we not a part of this?
You know, okay.
And it was actually Sia.
See, that's the problem. You invite someone along once, and they want to come every time.
Yeah, we're going to Durban tomorrow. So
you're doing Durban tomorrow. What have you done already? You've done Northern Cape.
We've done Gauteng. We've done Northern Cape. We've done Western Cape. We've done the Eastern Cape.
We're almost done.
Yeah, we're almost done, actually.
There's two more to go.
And this wasn't just like something that we were like, oh, let's just go and, you know, go to every province. It's actually part of our album. So it was like our little album tour. Instead of like doing the typical, like, you know, arenas and trying to do shows and sell tickets, blah, 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 we wanted to like do something different. So because our album's called Home Sweet Home, we wanted to do something that I think resembled Home Sweet Home, and that's SA for us. So we wanted to tour South Africa with 40 people and just have a good time. And we do shows in each city. A little shows for those people. So it's just something
that's awesome.
A bit different.
What a
know?
Clever idea, because you have to think out of the box these days in music. I mean, it's not as easy as it used to be.
You can't
rely on a record company to do a launch for you. First of all, they don't have any money.
Yeah, for sure.
And second of all, it's your money.
Yeah.
And second of all, what are they going to do for you? They're not as powerful as they used to be.
No, it's gone. And I think it's like, look at Cliff Central. It's such a good example of what can be done, you know. And we as artists are realizing that, hey, hold on, man. All we need is the internet to speak to people. I mean, now we like on live on Facebook, and all the fans that we have on Facebook get to watch us doing an interview with you. So the times are changing, man. Everything is changing. So I agree with you. It's time to be thinking outside the box big time.
Are you really working like every night? I've heard you guys are gigging up a storm. How do you manage to, even if you're not busy every night?
You know, every second night,
how do you manage that?
No, the craziest thing is that you think, okay, winter's coming up and it's cold, so no one really wants to be out there. And that that turns out to be the busiest 3 months for the whole year, probably, you know, including December.
When I last saw you, I think I've seen you in between, but the last time you were here, you were doing a show on the roof here.
Yeah. Yes.
Then you were leaving... You went straight from there to another gig that same night. You had been flying, I think that you flew straight in and came here. And then you had three others lined up for the next 3 days. There was basically no break.
No, sure.
And one was
in
Durban, one was in Cape Town. It's insane. This is not a lifestyle.
So what you said now also is about to happen from tomorrow. So we're only going to be home only Sunday.
But I think it's also like it's part of the nature of South African music at the moment. Like that's all we've known since we've started the game is like, do 10 gigs a week to try and, you know.
Why do you have to be so damn successful? but we're
not gigging the way we used
to. Can't you be losers and sit at home and get one gig a month?
Yeah, but listen.
As long as it pays well, man, that's great.
There's a small announcement here. Dude is here.
Oh, he's
here. Oh, my word.
Oh,
wow.
Guys, when he gets here.
He must love Cliff Central a lot. Okay, so
he never does interviews. I know. He never does interviews, and he never wakes up
coming
early.
What are you going to say to him?
What are we going to say to him?
I'm very pleased he's coming here.
Yeah.
So, look, I mean, this energy, though, that you require to do these gigs is incredible, because you're all three, you're moving.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot happening on that stage, and it's not as if you can let up for a second. I mean, I remember watching you come off the stage the last time I saw you. You were exhausted.
Yeah.
You put everything into it, and you have to, because everybody who's there to see you, this could be the only time they see you. You want to make the best impression you can.
No, for sure, man. And sometimes I don't understand, like, I kind of get, like, how people are so surprised, like, as to how much energy we put into it. But, like, for us, it's like, this is what we love, man. Like, we're not there. I know it sounds bad, but, like, we're not really there for the audience. Like, we're there because we love what we do, and the audience gets to watch us doing what we love, which is the blessing about it all. But, yeah, I mean, we do any show, whether it's thousands or 40 people, it's always putting our showcase on, which is what we love.
What do you think is the most exhausting part of it? The travel?
I'd say the travel, hands down. I think it's like, the other day I said, I can't wait for them to invent this teleporting thing, because it's like,
that'd be great.
Just like, and I don't want to teleport all the time. I just want to teleport like
when you're tired.
Yeah, when you're like, I just want to get to the next
gig.
Or
when you miss a flight and you need to be somewhere.
Yeah.
Have you ever not been able to make it to a gig?
Yeah. Due to several things. I mean, you know, whether it's being sick, whether it's, you know, I when my dad passed, I couldn't make the one.
So what
show.
Do you do then? What's the excuse that you use? I mean, you obviously explain it, but
you know, I don't want to like dull the moment again. But I did mention this on my social media as well, and I mentioned it because I want people to understand what our life is about, and it's not the whole glamorous thing. It's not that glamorous, to be honest.
It's work.
But when my dad passed away, we had to jump on stage, and the next day I had a show in Malawi, and I had to go because we couldn't cancel. It was like a 3,000 people show, Mikasa show. And I mean, that's the nature of the game. And there's certain times where you just have to say, hold on, I have to go. I can't be there. I don't have a voice. You know, it's, but generally we make our gigs. We've never really not made our gig because we're late or we've missed a flight or anything. We always make our gigs. It's always if there's something bad that's happened or.
Right. Know, which obviously anybody
which
in the
normal,
world
right?
has to deal with. Yeah,
yeah.
Sure. So do you have to pay them back for those gigs or how does it work?
It depends. It depends, actually. Yeah. Contractually, it actually depends. So
you get to keep the deposit.
If there's like a traumatic thing. But we generally, like, if we can't make it, we just pay them back the deposit and we don't make money.
What's the biggest audience you played for lately?
Lately?
Well, I mean, ever. Let's go with ever.
Ever, 75,000, Angola.
That's Angola.
People never forget in our lives. Yeah. It was in Luanda. It was.
And all those people singing Mikasa songs. Like, song after song. Like,
I bet you were pleased that he can speak Portuguese.
Right? Yeah.
That was helpful. Look at this. Look at him. Oh my God, he's here.
Whoa!
Dude, he's in his ladies and gentlemen, he's in his dressing gown. He's just rolled out of bed. How are you, brother?
Sure, how's it, everyone?
How are you, my man? You're looking good. I'm privileged that you woke up this morning to be with us. I hear you don't do interviews very often.
I actually do, you know.
You do?
Yeah, but when this time of the morning,
It was a full moon last night.
It was, it was full moon.
Blessings.
Part of how this happened.
Blessings.
Maybe it's the car that I drive, man. It's too slow.
Now,
I don't
know. Out of all these places that you've been touring, how much of the activity does Duda actually take part in?
I actually launched Jay Something. It was a successful... That was one of those successful launch... what was the thing called?
Which one?
The one in the river where I just jumped.
Oh, yeah. Actually, Duda's... You know what? Duda's actually the most active, well, the like adventurous guy out of all three of us. Like, he's the first guy to always want to do anything crazy.
Skydiving.
Do not judge me.
I know you pull the moves, and I know that that's Jay, and I know that Mo is very busy on the trumpet there, but I sometimes watch him when you guys are doing a live gig, and he's the most entertaining to watch.
For real?
Yeah, because Duda's busy. He's busy behind the decks there, and he's having the time of his life. And what you're doing, I mean, a lot of people don't understand how difficult. You're not a DJ. You're running the whole show. You're like the instrumentalist.
Actually make sure that everyone is in sync, especially
because
with
these
the
two
music.
You can't control them, right?
You know, especially white men. Sometimes he misses the beat.
I miss the beat.
I don't know that anyone would agree about him missing the beat.
No, I'm
pretty fleet on his feet.
I'm just kidding. I'll just basically make sure that everything is in sync. And you know, most when doing live, half live music when mixing with digital stuff, you need to make sure that that cue is on point all the time. If you miss that, then, you know,
it screws up the whole thing.
Yeah, but they'll probably believe it's Jay, you know.
But you're the heartbeat, right? I mean, that's the fact of it. Yeah, you're the heartbeat.
I would call him that too.
So if someone of the three of you had to be crushed by a bus today, who would cost you the most money? If one of the three of you, something terrible had to happen, would the other two be able to go? Who would that person be?
I think, put it this way. If a team doesn't have a goalkeeper, or a striker,
all right,
would it make sense?
So in other words, you're all three essential.
Of course.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
It wouldn't, Mikasa wouldn't work if it wasn't all three of you.
Of course, you can Mikasa, just dance to my beat. I don't know if you could dance to Jay's vocals or just his trumpet.
So in other words, you are the most important one, dude.
Not really. Come on now.
In other words.
Well, let's not do that situation where we're on the desert island and you have to eat. One of you has to be eaten.
Or being crushed by buses.
Or being crushed by buses. I mean, you know, it's pretty funny. You have to think about these things. Do you ever travel in separate planes or in separate cars so that if something terrible happens, there'll still be one of you left?
No. Never think like that.
Are any of you mentioned in each other's wills?
Not really. I think we've got
James, I thought I was in your will.
Never. Yes, really? I could have wished you to...
I'll leave them with my trumpet, both of them.
You'll give them your trumpet?
Oh,
yeah. That's a major prize.
No.
And that's a famous trumpet.
No, but Dudo's...
No, it's not.
Dudo's learning already the other day. I was just teaching him a few things. I was teaching him a few skills.
Well, listen, I mean, the best thing about watching the three of you, and I do agree with what Duda said just now, that absolutely every one of you is an important part of this thing, and nobody's actually more important than anyone else. It's a nice thing to have three, because also two can always outvote one. So if you can't decide on something, it's easy to resolve.
It's easier to make a decision.
Right. Yeah. If you've got four, then it's going to be 2-2 sometimes. It's a problem. It's like you guys are like the Constitutional Court. Always an uneven number.
Now, I always see ourselves as a soccer team, man. I'm a goalkeeper. I can't just score and score goals. You know, he's a striker. He can score goals.
I'm a defender.
Moji is a defender, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Defender.
All right, yeah, for sure.
But it's up to
now,
you.
Now, who out of the three of you, I know that some of you are committed in relationships here, but who out of the three of you gets the most interest from the women?
It's Jay something.
Yeah. Is it?
It's Jay. Yeah.
Always.
Simply because he's a listener. He's the one who holds the mic, you know, he's the one who interacts with everyone, you know.
So, yeah, I mean, he's got an unfair advantage in that respect.
Of course.
Because he's also up front and, you know, the women are right there on the stage.
Yeah.
Have they ever managed to steal any of your clothing?
Definitely.
Underpants.
Definitely. In Zerust. I'll never forget that day.
Of all places, so, Zerust.
Yeah.
What happened in Zerust?
So we just got off stage. That was now it's time for pictures there backstage, of course. And so we had a rental car, two rental cars.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone left the door open or something there, and some crazy girl just came, started grabbing his tops that were sweat. Well, full of sweat, of course, you know.
And she took him with her.
And she ran off,
She ran.
And then these big guys, I've got Jay something in my hand. And then these huge guys, these bouncers went after her. And actually, Robbie tackled her because she didn't want to stop, so they had to tackle her.
You gotta take the bitch down.
And then we just felt so bad because, you know, she was stealing, but she was like a little bit cuckoos, you know.
Sure. But she was probably drunk. Let's give her the benefit of the doubt.
But she was really fast. Like, she really was running very, really fast.
And they could actually see whose clothes is it, you know.
They could tell.
They could tell, yeah. His was too skinny. Mine, obviously, you won't steal because back then.
Why wouldn't they steal yours?
Back then, it was too big for them.
But you have lost. You've lost a lot of weight.
Yes, man. I started cycling not too long ago.
Isn't that a terrible thing to do?
It is.
Cycling?
I love it.
You like it?
I love it.
Please tell me you're not going to become one of those people who does all those cycling races, because that's terrible.
I'm actually doing the 947.
Oh,
and
no.
Only to find that I'm performing on the day.
So you're going to be exhausted.
Let's hope he makes it on the set.
If I make it on time,
okay,
I'll just do the set. If I
what will be hysterical is you'll pitch up there and it'll be the quietest you've ever been. You'll be standing because you'll be stiff.
And if he pitches up any cycling gear because he's still
be funny.
That'll be amazing.
And you get to see my thighs, you know? Celebrity
thighs.
But the cycling thing is working, huh? You're enjoying it.
It is. Trust me, I'm enjoying it, huh?
Now, what do you do for fun, Mo? What's your off time? I mean, you don't get any.
Can I answer that
bad.
For him?
Ah, you know what?
Can I get
this?
Let Duda go first.
Okay, let's see what he's got to say.
Okay, Moti is a family man. His hobby is to, he takes his car to a car wash every
Mo
day.
Mo washes his car every day.
Never.
He cuts his hair every day.
You know
cuts
what? These guys.
Hair,
you know
wait,
what?
Wait, wait, wait.
Okay.
Cuts his hair and then go chill with the family. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what car are we talking about here?
Oops.
It's a SLK 55 AMG Superboss.
There was no need, so, Cliff.
Yes, so, if you meet me on the road, tell me if you want to talk.
Do you have a personalized number plate?
No.
You don't need that.
Yeah, but let me tell
when
you about...
When you're really famous, you don't need a personalized number.
So let me just edit what they've just said now. Let me just edit.
Uh-huh.
So, I live in a really cool place. I'm not going to say where, but of course, and there's people around... the place there we have like stay, and they wash cars for us, you know, as part of us living there. So they think I wash the car every day. Yeah. So the guy will do your garden, he wash your car, he'll do everything that you know that you ask him to do.
Absolutely.
So that's the side of the world where I live. So
and how much are you paying levies?
And then no man, levies are your levy, you know, it's levies are reasonable. The
it's
levies
my
are,
house installment.
No man, no. Never man.
His levies are your
installment. I really live in a cool estate, you know. So the people there are very cool, man.
And
you know,
you get your car washed every day as part of the deal.
Not every day, but I mean, when the guy comes, like
what a
you know,
Jesus,
not every day.
Lifestyles are rich and famous.
I'm just a very clean guy, that's all. So,
sure.
You know.
No, of course.
As you mentioned about the grooming and the cars and everything.
I think this is very important. This is all about presenting yourself.
You got to
look the part. It's very important.
Definitely.
Do you ever go out of your house in like slippers and pajamas?
No.
To
Mo,
the shop?
Never. No. I do.
No, I don't
you
do,
do.
I do. I go to Woolies often with my slippers and
you do?
Track pants. Yeah.
No.
And if people take a photograph, I mean,
nah,
they must recognize
fine.
You. So they say to you in Woolworths, I mean, Duda, this is embarrassing. This is bad for the whole band.
No, God.
Yes, because if Jay Summing goes out and he's in his pajamas, he's slept in a dressing gown.
No, track pants and slippers.
You're wearing a probably like a beanie or something. You look like a homeless person.
Yeah, I dig
you. And then you go out.
It's my favorite thing to
and
do.
And you shop for breakfast stuff. Because
yeah.
Now you're going to make a nice breakfast.
Exactly.
Sunday morning.
That's the best.
Okay.
The best. No, it's generally like week
now some
mornings.
Girl walks up to you and goes, oh my God, it's Jay Summing. Oh my God. Can I have a picture? And then you go, you have to say yes.
Yeah.
Now you're going to pose in your pajamas.
No, the thing is, yeah, generally the picture will be the face.
Oh, so
the
you
face
tell
will
it,
be washed
you
and clean.
Let's
you know?
Crop off. Let's
yeah,
crop
I said like we're going to take like slipper pictures. Like it's just face.
But you're not
pictures.
Like straight out of bed, morning breath, hair all over the place.
No, I'm not that type of guy. No. I'm still clean.
You're presentable.
But still in track pants. I love slippers. I do all my TV shows in slippers. I wish I could perform in slippers. I love slippers.
Are there those ones with the big, like a big lion?
No, but I've got those. Those pantofles.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got those.
Okay, so we've got something about what you do in your spare time, Mo. What is Duda?
I also spend some time at the gym now.
I know, so, I was going to say, you're looking strong.
Yeah, no, I always say, you know, so the fitness also counts. I also jog a lot.
Very disciplined,
and,
there.
And yeah,
sounds like
you see. So, yeah, that's it, you know.
Yeah.
That's
what
it.
About,
I was trying to actually grip onto
what
a sport.
What about Duda? If I call him at 4 in the afternoon, what's he up to normally?
Well,
no, let us answer for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you want the old Duda or do you want the new Duda?
The new Duda.
New
current
Duda.
Duda.
Okay, the current Duda now.
Old Duda obviously
he's
was
mostly
sitting at home eating chips.
Yeah, he's there. That's why I said you want the old Duda. We're having a steak, a fat steak there. That's why I said you want the old Duda or the new Duda. Okay, the new Duda actually cycles.
Yeah.
You know, he loves his cycling.
Every
and,
day.
Most of the time. Sure. Yeah. You know, he doesn't miss or skip, you know. He's really been doing well with that and spends time in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Duda doesn't really like going out, so he spends like a lot of time in the studio. The only time you'll see him is on his bike, probably.
No, people must...
And then...
Duda, listen.
And then he also...
I'm on your side here, dude. Hang on,
please.
Mo. You don't want to be out there when you're not being paid to be out there. It's a stressful, it's a stressful situation. I'm not saying that you're full of yourself. I'm just saying that it's exhausting. All three of you get recognized everywhere you go. You have to be... on show all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And you never know who you're going to meet. And it's work. Sometimes if you stay at home and you don't have to interact with anybody else, you can actually focus on maybe coming up with a new song,
working on
something that you've had to put on the back burner for a long time. You don't have to be concerned with what everybody else is saying or thinking or doing. And
you can wear your slippers.
Exactly. You can wear your slippers. And this social media stuff, you've got to learn to turn that off too, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Otherwise it drives you crazy.
We often spoke about how, like, when we get home, we generally put our phones on airplane mode just to, like, chill, like, and forget about it. Because, like, now we, like, we're always trying to engage and interact with the people that essentially make us who we are. So they're important. Social media is important. But at the end of the day, I fully agree with you, like, trying to just chill as well.
I always believe in art, and you need to spend time and doing that. You need to be friends with art. You need to be friends with what you're doing, whether you're playing soccer, whether you know in music, you know. So I always, even the guys can tell you, I'm always in relationship with work-related trends. So I'm the guy who's going to sit and watching YouTube for like 2-3 hours. Mm-hmm. It doesn't hurt me.
No, but you've got to know what's going on.
Of course, you know.
It's work for you.
But besides, you know, technically, software, you know, software upgrades, know what's new on the market, you know, trying some new tricks.
You must have some setup at home.
Oof.
My
studio is worth more than most cars.
So while most washing is SLK, or getting someone to wash, sorry.
Of course.
While Mo gets someone to wash his SLK, You are busy polishing up your studio.
Exactly. But you see, I'm the type of guy that doesn't really care about cars, but my home is more important, you see.
Sounds to me like you got some home as well.
It's the same thing. I mean, if I can sell my studio, I've got myself as SLK. Got to stay where he stays.
No.
It's one of those things. But that's like a half a deposit.
When you're in the studio, you're surrounded by these screens. You've got every piece of high fidelity equipment you could find.
That's heaven.
You put those headphones on and you're in your own world, right?
Oh,
that's your happy place.
That's his happy place, to be honest.
My God. Mm. And it's right next to my lounge.
Not even the most beautiful woman in the world could distract you
Never. Try it now, bro. Try it now.
Do you let anyone, just anyone, into the studio?
No, you mostly
lock it up and don't let other people in?
It's not open to public, so it's just...
Do you let these hooligans in sometimes?
Yeah, and they try coming with, you know, a cup of coffee and whatnot. And I just watched them. I'm like, okay. Oh, I still need to pay my bills. Come in, guys.
Now, you do so much in terms of live performances. I don't think you probably have a lot of time to rehearse. But if you do, whose house do you get together at? Or do you go to another studio? Or where do you rehearse?
We normally do. We come together and with the session guys as well. But we obviously at my house and studio because we need to edit, you know, a couple of things. But we don't get much time to rehearse.
No, I'm sure.
Yeah. But when we has,
who comes up with the ideas? Is it all three of you or
all three?
Is it a melody? Does it start with a beat? Does it start with a lyric? Where does it begin?
It's like 50-50. Sometimes it starts with the vocals. Sometimes you'd come with the trumpet melody. Sorry, and then everyone has to, you know, join and contribute towards that. But mostly it's.
Please,
it's like 50-50.
Please promise me there isn't going to be a Yoko Ono who's going to ruin Mikasa. Like, please, the three of you must not one of you must fall in love with some woman who's going to tear you away from the band. We need you. We don't want this
It's one of those things that we focused on earlier when we started. The big one was respect.
Mm-hmm.
We have to respect each other. If I don't enjoy doing interviews, I should respect that. If he doesn't love doing sound check, we respect that, you know. Because before...
I hate doing sound check.
Yeah,
you do. Say something hates sound check.
And I always tell him...
Dude, I hate interviews. I'm so sorry. This is such an unpleasant experience.
I always tell Jay something that even Michael Jackson... I never missed his sound check, you know. So, but you know,
and he didn't miss any interviews as well.
except now he's dead.
Yeah, exactly.
From exhaustion and sleeping pills and.
Yeah, that's a problem.
But what I'm saying is, it seems that you've got this formula that really works. That when you find three people who work together as well as you guys do, you know, sometimes someone's on top, sometimes someone else is feeling a little down. But you manage to all pick each other up and the performances work, no matter what's going on.
Yeah.
So that's special. What I'm saying is don't let anyone ruin that for you. I don't know.
Before we go on any stage, we always check that every guy's cool, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, we never ever do
a
performance.
It's so funny because I think five years down the line, just the other day, we looked at each other and we reminded ourselves such a simple thing that we are artists. And we forgot that thing of like, what is it to be an artist? I mean, if you say to someone, I'm an artist, there's an art that you create, and we've forgotten that in our heads because we've done it so many times. So I think it's also like a constant reminder. Like the other day, you know that Facebook memories thing that pops up?
Yeah.
And it's like so awesome. Like, we launched our first album in July, and there was a poster 5 years ago, just the other day, of the first poster that went up on Musica, and we were like all chuffed 5 years ago.
When Musica still exists.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cuss is still here, music is gone. Yeah. I love it.
So I think it's also like a constant reminder of who you are, how much you love doing it. And it's important to remind oneself of like, dude, like we just got back from Kenya. Mm. We had a sold out show, like a couple of thousand people.
Oh,
it's still happening, you know, so it is magical.
Now, isn't it great that you get to travel this continent too? Because there's so much north of this border that people don't know about.
Yeah.
I mean, you mentioned Angola just now. I don't know how many people in South Africa have been to Angola. It's expensive to be there.
It's an expensive place,
because it's a very, very busy place right now. There's a huge amount of development going on there. Some of it just because it's the Dos Santos family's own private kingdom. But it is quite something to go to a place like Angola and have 70,000 people pitch up. That's what you said?
Yeah.
Wow.
We just got back from Rwanda as well for the first time.
Now, isn't that an interesting
place?
Like,
we went there. I think everybody goes to Rwanda with the whole, like, genocide mindset of what they've come from.
It's like, dude, it's like the first world.
I couldn't believe it. Like, it's the cleanest country I've ever seen in my life. So, like, north of South Africa, yeah, there's so much. We've been to 23 African countries. We've performed in 23 Africa. And, like, there's just so much out there.
What's the dodgiest place you've been in where you have to stay in some shitty place full of insects and rats, and you the airport was a little tin shack, and it must have been a place like that.
I don't think we must mention names, guys.
Because the next time we go there's gonna be like, yeah, what were you saying on Cliff Central?
I'll meet you with a salt rifle.
I could just say the accent, then you know what the
right.
place, you know.
all right, we won't say.
Don't do it.
Come on, do it.
No.
My brother.
No.
I'm thinking West Coast.
No, come on.
The one time we went to Mozambique, and we had to take another flight to like a little not Dodge area, but like a little remote area, up north. Yeah. And we had a pilot who had three fingers. Only. He only had three fingers, and we got into the small 5-seater plane, and we were like, oh my God, what are we about to do? And true as Bob, this guy, he tries to land in this area, and he landed halfway on the runway, and we went straight into the bushes. there was not even an airport there. It was just a runway, and there was a truck waiting for us to take us off. So it was bizarre. Like, that is bizarre. Dude.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah, and he was like standing up in the plane trying to see where we were going. Because he looked
And worst part, he was communicating with Jane Portuguese. So we thought that he was lying to us.
I was pranking him.
Yeah, we thought that it was a prank now because he likes joking around in Portuguese, and like, we don't understand the language, of course. So you're like, hey, James, this guy says that he doesn't know where to land.
And he kept saying like, oh shit, the pilot in Portuguese. And I'm like, what's wrong, man? But I can see we landing, so I know it's cool. Like, if we crash from like...
And you went into bushes.
Yeah, we went straight into
guys
the bushes.
Woke up.
We had to put a rope onto the plane, and the truck had to take the plane out. It was bizarre.
Honestly, man. There's actually pictures here.
We've got pictures as well.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
What an adventure.
I'm telling you, man. There's some random stuff we do.
Now, when you've done as well as you've done, it's hard to kind of set goals for what's next, because people are always expecting you to keep on upping the game and keep on releasing hits, and there's a lot of pressure there.
Yeah.
Because once you've had as much success as you guys have had, it's hard to keep going up. Right?
There's a lot of internal, like, goals set. Like, we very, like, as much as, like, what we do has a lot to do with the public, we also doing it a lot. Like I mentioned, we do it a lot for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of internal goal setting going on for us all the time, constantly, of what we want to achieve. And it's not so much about, hey, we want to perform to, like, a larger crowd. We just want to do cooler things. and we want to be happy about those things. So that's the picture.
I'm sorry, I'm just looking. I'm looking
crazy.
I'm looking at this picture. They're actually pulling. They've got a truck pulling this plane out of the bushes, and you can see the edge of the runway.
That's crazy, man.
Wow, what a story.
Man. But yeah, we have had to constantly like recreate goals, which is cool because you take them off and you carry on. But I think the main goal is always to like make sure that we're always still happy doing what we do and not trying to compete with the trends or the what's
out there. Okay, but there are going to be days when you don't feel like it. You mentioned when your dad died you had to go and do Malawi, but there must be days also where you can see one of the guys isn't feeling up to it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, no, you're just down. You're just not having a great day. We all have shitty days.
Exactly.
Of course. I remember one time I was, I think I was in Cape Town. I felt nothing on stage.
Mm.
And then, bling, the show was over. I was like, where was I?
Like, does it?
It happens.
It happens.
Yeah, but I mean, were you off your game? Were you...
I don't know.
Were you competent like professional or were you
No, we still did our show.
Right.
Like I fully like relate to Duda. Like I've done it before. Like you still give
you
everything.
Just go through the pain.
And then afterwards you completely like what just happened? Like
yeah.
you just don't feel that emotion that you normally feel.
Now are you ever the kind of people who, because you seem to me to be very professional, disciplined guys, you've obviously got a lot of gigs, so you've got a lot of commitments you have to honor. You don't arrive late for stuff and all the rest of it. But do you ever just let loose and party and, like, drink with people and meet new people and, like, get to meet the fans? And
hell yeah.
But, I mean, party with
them. No, like, we often do it. Like, okay, not, like, often, because generally we have to go somewhere.
Because you've got to have that, otherwise...
But, like, we've been, like, in the, like... In the crowd with people.
Yeah, but tomorrow's my birthday.
Happy birthday for tomorrow.
So we're going to be in KZN with this whole shot left thing.
Right.
And we're all going to be together. We're obviously going to celebrate. But like, I'm thinking of like always, especially when we like in Cape Town, when we, you know, in outside of our South Africa, like we always like let loose a bit because I think we don't have another show to go to.
Right.
Yeah. And you're also there for like, you're not there often, you know, we're often in SA. So when you go to like Kenya or Nigeria, you want to have fun and you want to leave people with a memorable moment. And we're also having a lot of fun as well. So
do you ever have those moments where you're driving home after you've done a really good show or whatever, and you kind of have to pinch yourself to realize like you're living your dream. You're doing what you've always wanted to do. You're making other people happy. You're making money. You're having a successful, happy life. And no, you stop and remind yourself like, shit, this is better than I expected.
All the time.
Yeah.
Huh? All the time.
But that stuff, I think, took a bit of time with us. It took some years because the way we started off has been hectic. It's still hectic now. But
sure.
The time when even Jay pulled it up and he's like, gents, like, it's been 5 years or it's been 4 years. Or, but look at us, guys, you know. And, like, only now it hits me that, hey, guys, like, we're the guy that made Mikasa or came up with Mikasa. You know, and that people still love us even till today, you know.
Besides the things that you've already said that you... Sure. Kind of treat yourself to, like, you get your car washed every day by some guy. And Buddha obviously has this studio, which is like his shrine and his meditation chamber and his, like, this is his happy place. And for you, what is it, Jay? I mean, what's your indulgence? What do you get to do that is just like your little bit of excess?
But can we also answer for him?
That money makes possible. Yeah, you tell me.
I think. Yeah. Okay.
It's two things. He talks a lot, and he loves cooking.
We must actually review this interview and see who spoke the most on this interview. I think the podcast is going to be available after that.
Yeah,
and you've spoken the most today.
Yeah, because I was trying to cover it.
He was covering up for him. He's late.
He was talking more.
Just buying time.
And Gareth is asking, you know, like relevant questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not something that I don't even.
And Gareth, I must be honest with you. This is probably the biggest reason why Duda hates interviews. And I like. It's because people always ask us the same crap all the time. And that's why we kind of like coming here, because we get to talk different things and interesting things. So I do agree with you. It's like
no one knows I've got an expensive studio.
And that's all on the internet. You know?
But you're quite a serious guy. This is the point. I mean, when you're up on stage and you're having... But all three of you are, actually. You're fun people to be around, don't get me wrong. But you take what you do seriously. Dude, and I think Duda's very like into... I can tell you're an old school music man.
I am, trust me.
I bet you listen to some Nina Simone and some Grover Washington Jr.
On my way here, I was listening to Gregory Porter, his latest offering. Oh,
Gregory Porter.
Another cool thing about Duda also, when we started, and promoters would be dodgy sometimes, and he'd be the guy and say, "Gents, don't do this. I know this guy." Or like, don't even try making business or doing business with this guy. So
remember, I had like a 5 year, 7 year career before
in the music business. Yeah, sure.
So I was the guy who's like, I remember my first breakthrough song. It was on DJ's Fresh album, Definition of House. The song was called Anthem. That was my first ever breakthrough.
Isn't it amazing how many people Fresh and particularly Oskido have helped?
Yes.
Huh?
The best. Sure.
In South Africa, those two guys have done a huge amount for amazing local musicians. Yeah. Who would you like to collaborate with that you haven't? Internationally, locally, whoever. Who would you really like to do some stuff with? Who do you think fits into your genre of stuff? Who do you think would just slide in there and be fantastic as
like
an add-on?
Doing something with Gregory Porter would be amazing. In terms of like vocal for me, like songwriting and just sitting with him would be incredible. I want to work with Nasty C, which is the new rap guy on the block, South African.
I think I met him a while ago. Yeah. He was here with us. Yeah,
young kid, guy, cool, very cool, dude.
Very cool kid. Yeah, yeah. I think he's got. Got something special going on.
Tortured Soul was accomplished.
Tortured Soul, yeah, we did Tortured Soul in LA, which is cool. We've just finished up a song with Wizkid from Nigeria.
Nice.
And he just finished up a song with Drake and Chris Brown. So that's quite a big moment for us. And it's an amazing song.
Salif Keita.
Salif Keita would be amazing. All of them do good to we've been speaking to for a while. So like, we've done a track with Ladysmith, Black Mambazo. Yeah. So like, we also want to do like classical stuff as well, like. You know,
isn't that fun also, like maybe get an orchestra involved?
Yeah,
wouldn't
definitely.
That be,
we've
that be cool?
Been saying to, you know,
that's been a dream,
because I think we were planning our DVD and then we thought definitely orchestra.
Yeah,
I can't believe definitely. It's only been 5 years. It feels to me it's like mad, you've been part of the landscape. No, because, and I'm not saying I'm bored, I'm sure. saying that it's amazing to me that you feel like part of the tapestry here. Like I can't really think of a time before Mikasa was that feel
so
of,
cool, man.
And South Africa has a feel, and you guys have just got exactly that heartbeat going, which is very special. It's why I think a lot of people like you across the board. Everybody just loves you. I don't think there's anyone who says, "Oh no, that's not."
I remember feeling like the new kids on the block all the time.
Yeah,
and now there's been this like sudden transition where we like feel like we
your establishment now.
Yeah, we're like part of the furniture, and we kind of like opinion leaders, and it's weird. It's like just shifted. It just
kind of scary as well.
Scary, yeah, it is.
Of course, of course.
Like you can't afford to put a foot wrong now. In the beginning, you could have still made mistakes, and they would have said, "Oh well, you know, they're getting their feet wet."
Yeah.
Now
I can't do it.
Now
it's a weird thing. It's like kind of like people like now almost like expect us to make a hit. Like it's just kind of like we've done like over the last 5 years we've had like 10 number one songs or 11 and it's just kind of like expected now. So and it's a good and it's a bad thing, because it's like that excitement, especially locally, over a song has it just goes down and down and down with time, you know. And you come get put into that box of like more of like a classic song, they anthems. It's not.
I heard an interview with a famous musician a while ago, and he said he hates playing his hits because he's bored with them. I mean, he's been doing them for 25 years. But do you ever? Is there a song that you're starting to get tired of?
I don't know
of?
When last we performed these streets. Man.
Really, you over it?
Yeah, no.
But the thing is that people still want to hear it.
Yeah, they do, and we rob them of that because you're like, you know, these streets again, really.
And then you get the songs that were not even famous, and people are asking for them. Like someone be like, "Yeah, but."
But I mean, you know, again, you're not a DJ in a club. You must come with requests.
You've got
a set list. Even when I was DJing in clubs, and people used to come up for requests, like, "Look, I'm paid to play the music for an hour, not you.
Exactly.
Why don't you come and be the house DJ for three rand an hour when I'm done?"
For me, you can imagine from studio when. Trying to arrange the song, trying to mix the song, trying to get the song to master, like trying to get those melodies together. So how many times do I listen to one song?
Oh, 1,000 more than them.
Yeah, no, that's
you're really tired of it by then.
And then when they're excited, I'm like, ish, guys.
But how do you know? Here's a tough question for you, because I mean, this is the stuff that interests me. I wish I could write and compose and produce music. That's what I'd love more than any other talent. But when you are busy in the studio, you're putting a song together, and you're editing, and you're changing, and you're producing, and you're chopping, and you're putting effects onto things, and all kinds of other stuff.
Yeah.
How do you know when you're done? Because you could keep going forever.
Believe me, you can change a song every 2 seconds.
Exactly.
Yeah, you what can. Doing.
But you just need to discipline. I think me listening to, being an old school guy, listening to music back then from, you know, 1992 up to now, I just kind of like compare, you know, and check, okay, we've had this 4 years ago. Why don't I try it? Okay, you know,
it's one of those. You bring back some good stuff that people might have forgotten about.
Yeah, stuff, you know, yeah. Because sometimes you just believe in the melody, and that melody sucks, you know. No.
You just get bored with it.
Yeah, and then suddenly everyone enjoys the bass line. I was like, oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I remember when we did Heavenly Sent. Heavenly Sent, it was something completely different to what you're listening to now, you know. I had to change it in the last minute days, and I just... I've only changed one thing. I just put that bass line. Doom, 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 doom. That's it.
But before that, it sounded very different.
Yeah, it sounded very different. And then I went in and changed that bass line. And then, boom.
No.
Just yeah. like that.
All three of you are masters of your craft.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that we live in a time of Mikasa.
Thanks.
Seriously. Yeah. I mean, it's the truth. I mean, I think a lot of South Africans just feel like this is one of the sounds that... puts us in a good mood. It makes us feel like we're part of something really special. And we're very proud of what you guys are doing. That's why everybody loves you.
Thanks, Kara. Yeah.
So well done.
Thank you.
And let's find out when the next plane is going to crash into the bushes. Let's hope it doesn't
happen. Kind of.
Hopefully it's not tomorrow.
Anytime soon.
Because you're flying up tomorrow.
Yeah, no, and tomorrow. Please be safe. And can we have this carry on for at least another 5 years?
At least.
At least.
Yeah. After that, I'd be willing to accept that you might want to all do solo projects. He's already doing some stuff. How do we feel about Jay Summing doing solo stuff? Tell the truth. Come on.
I actually think.
You think that?
Like I always say to him that.
Bastard.
No. I actually think. I tell him that, you know, it's so funny because some of the things that come from Mikasa come from clients that were at the cooking shows or something.
Oh, yeah.
Or the festivals. And they were like, listen, we actually also want Mikasa. So this is. Like, it's just. We always say, guys, you'll never know. Stuff just happens, you know, like from...
My music solely lives with Mikasa. I often tell the guys that, and this is an honest thing, is that should Mikasa have to come to an end, I don't see myself doing music.
Mm-hmm.
I
Justin Timberlake said that when he was in NSYNC. You're lying sack of shit.
I'm leaving now.
I love you guys. Thank you so much for coming here this morning.
Thanks, Garrett.
All right, let's wrap it up with the unnews. Mikasa, everybody. What a band. What a bunch of talented dudes. CliffCentral.com.